Alrighty, Matthew, we're going to just briefly hit on the Lord's Supper, and these are these lesson twos of the Sunday school lessons. Notice Matthew 26, verse 26 through 30. How many have got Matthew 26, 26 through 30? And this is Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. By the way, he did this Lord's Supper, but you know that they were killing that Passover for hundreds of years. The lamb. They were shedding that innocent blood of that lamb. Well, that blood of that lamb was a type of the Lamb of God, Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist said, Jesus said, I'm the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sins of the world. Jesus was that lamb from heaven. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. But so, anyways, let's look at verse 26 in chapter 26 of Matthew. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, that represents his body, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now we know that wasn't his body, it was a representation of his body. He was foretelling about him going to Calvary and giving his body on the cross. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink here henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So right before Christ is taken to by the Roman soldiers and later to be crucified, they had this, what we call the First Lord's Supper. Well, look at your paper. And you know, because we do this. Look up here. Everybody look up to me first. Jesus gave two ordinances to the church. Christ gave two ordinances to the local church. Believer's baptism. Remember, Jesus was baptized? By the way, look at the order, too. Was he baptized first and then took the Lord's Supper? Or did he have the Lord's Supper and then get baptized? He was baptized first, and then he had the Lord's Supper. Are you with me? The baptism represented death, burial, and resurrection. Just like you and I are going to, we are going to be resurrected in the newness of life. We got a great truth in that, don't we? That we're coming, that water represents the grave. Just like Jesus came out of that grave the third day, we're coming up too. Amen? I'm glad I'm going to the upper taker. Amen? Well, if you look at your paper, I'm going to try to do this real quick. The bread, he said, represented his broken body. The cup was the fruit of the vine. It represented his shed blood. And now, we all know this, but when I teach this, you'll be having young converts, people that have not been in church very long. And so you got to understand, these lessons are for people that's just new in the Bible. How many are with me? It's like a new convert's lessons. And I know you know this stuff. It was observed by his local church till he come. Look over in 1 Corinthians 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Jesus said, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So when we do the Lord's Supper, we're just remembering what Christ did for us till he comes. We won't need to, when he comes, we'll have it. Amen? We'll have him. And so we observed that in the local church because it reminds us what Christ did. Baptism is needed before a person should be. I personally believe that some don't always, not everybody takes this stand, but I do. Baptism is needed before a person should take the Lord's Supper. Because in all honesty, baptism makes you a member of the local church. And you can't take the Lord's Supper until you become a member of the church. And so the baptism is needed before a person takes the Lord's Supper, since it's for members of the local church. This church believes that only members of the local church should be invited to take the Lord's Supper. Yeah. Members, why? Because every one of you that are a member here, you're professing Christians, and you've all had believers' baptism. So you qualify. Plus, everybody here, you all come here every week. This is our local church here. Come here with me. Okay? Now, if a bunch of people from the outside would visit our church that we never met, they shouldn't take it. First of all, we don't even know if they're saved. See, to be a member of Bethel, you have to have a profession that you're saved and believer's baptism. And that's why we say it should be within our church here, because it should be for God has a local church. Bethel Baptist is a local church here for Christ on Freedom Street. Are you with me, church? And so, we are a body for Christ right here on Freedom Street in Ravenna. We're the local body for Christ right here. And so, it's the Lord's Supper is for the local church at Freedom Street, which is Bethel Baptist. So it's for us here. It's for our membership because we're the church that meets here. Hello? And so those who should examine themselves. Look at verse 28 through 32. You got 1 Corinthians 11, 28? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We're to examine it. Before we take the Lord's Supper, we should say, Lord, is there any unconfessed sin? Lord, is there something that I'm doing wrong that I should confess and turn from before I do this? For he that eateth and drinketh unruly eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some of them died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Yeah, God, if we judge ourselves, God don't have to judge us. But when we were judged, you know, I was thinking of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost back in Acts 5. They came into church, lied. They're not doing the Lord's Supper there, but they lied, and they dropped dead. God knows how to take care of his own people. Amen? And so, Ananias comes in, him and his wife had conspired to lie. There probably no doubt was going to go to Walmart and buy a bunch of stuff and then take a cruise and stuff like that down the Mediterranean and hold back on God. And so Peter, Ananias comes in and says, hey, Peter, look at there. Here's someone. And Peter says, he lied. Dropped dead. Then a few hours later, his wife comes in. She lied. She dropped dead. Listen, God knows how to take care of his children. The Bible talks about he chastens us. Listen, you say, why don't he chasten those wicked devils that are not saved? Because they're not his. And one day they'll get judgment, eternal judgment. David Ballard spanks Lukey because he's his kid. He doesn't spank Eddie's kids. Lizzie does. God, if you study Hebrews 12, we don't have time, but God chastens his own children. He spanks us. He scourges us. And so, by the way, the Bible says, if you be without chastening, you're not even a child of God. So if God chastens you, feel good. It's not good. I don't like it when God spanks me, but I'm glad he spanks me once in a while. Lets me know I'm his kid. And it also helps me get better where I ought to be. Amen? John, remember our moms and dads our dads would make us, Carl, remember our parents used to whop, took a switch to us? You know what? We got a new attitude for some things, didn't we? You ain't kidding, we did. The spanking was good for us. By the way, even back in the early part of 1900, in the mid-1900s, spanking was good for people. It's still good for kids today. Get to the younger ones and let them know it's good for them to get spanked. Rose, if you do bad, mom and dad spank you, it's because they love you. And they're trying to make you a better girl for God. You ever wonder what happened to these kids that are so out of touch and they've never been spanked? A little smart like punk kid, they've never been whipped to fire. I'm never going to get done with this, I can tell you that. have been in stores. You probably have too, or malls. That's a real test for me. And I see these mothers, these kids just driving their parents. One, two. And they keep telling them over and over and over. I just want to go over and grab that kid and said, here's how your mama's trying to tell you. Whop, 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 whop. You do it again, I'm going to spank you again. That's my dad used to tell me, hey, go do this. He waited for a few seconds. If I didn't move then, Johnny, my dad got up. He moved. He moved, and he moved me. I'm not going to, my dad was believed in dancing because he used to grab me and we used to promenade all the way on the, you know, he'd be switching my fanny, boy. That old switch, the Bible talks in Proverbs that it's good for kids. Not to beat them in the head and stuff, but the good switching. That's why this older generation is a better generation. They've been switched. And then you got Dr. Spock and all these idiots today that say, you can't hit your kids. Oh, I love my kid too much. You don't love them very much or you'd spank them when they're bad. And so, well, this is good. I can see me. Mel, you better learn these lessons because I'm never going to get these lessons done in 4 weeks. And so, but where was I, Debbie? How did I get on the... we're talking about children being spanked. That's what I was talking about. God spanks his children. And he'll spank us too. And so we're supposed to examine ourselves. And then look at, it's important that when you take the Lord's Supper, to think about Christ shedding his blood for us. And he did shed his blood for us. And look at verse 25 there in 11. After he said, he took the cup, he supped saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Every time we do, we ought to remember what he did for us. Just write this down. We haven't got time to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says we're bought with a price. We've been bought with a price. That price was Jesus' blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'll read it to you because I'm not going to finish this anyways. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I went to Romans. I'm so used to go to Romans all the time. Okay. For you're bought with a price. That price is Jesus' life, his blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've been purchased by Christ. We're the property of Christ. He paid a high price. He gave his life for you and I. He shed his blood that you and I could live. And so it's important that we think about the shedding of his blood. It's all right if you shed a few tears when you're taking the Lord's Supper. You don't have to cry, but it's not. If you cry, don't worry. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You're thinking about how much he loved us. You see. I'm glad he did love us. Amen. I'm amazed he loved me because, folks, I'm telling you right now, I'm a rascal. I am an ornery guy. I really am. And I'm amazed that God don't kill me. I'm glad he don't kill me. I'm glad he loved me, and I'm glad he died for me, and I'm glad he saved me. And I'm glad I'm on the right side, amen? I served the devil long enough, and I'm glad I'm on the right side, and I'm glad he took me from darkness into light. That's why I get excited, Billy, because we're on the right side, amen? One day he's coming back. Okay, and then we'll just do one or two here. The King James Bible. I'm glad God gave us a perfect Bible. Amen. God gave us a perfect Bible. Look at Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. These are all familiar scriptures. You folks know. Wow. I know I got it here somewhere. I'm real tired. My mind's not working good. There's Job, right after Job in Psalms. There we go. Psalms 12. Look at Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. Don't ever let someone tell you there's errors in your Bible. You got a King James Bible, you got a perfect Bible. God gave this world the perfect word. The words of the Lord are pure words. Let me see Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified. How many times? And 7 is God's perfect number. Then look at verse 7. It's interesting. It's verse 7 too, Eddie. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's given us a perfect Bible throughout all generations. And now in the English version, we have the King James Bible. And there's other versions in different, there's other languages that got the, you know, the same scripture, but it's written in different languages, you know. But we've got God gave us in the English speaking people, He gave us the King James Bible. And it's a pure word of God. It's inspired. There's no blemishes, just like that perfect lamb. Notice what it says there. God gave us a perfect, inspired, infallible Bible forever. The Bible came by inspiration. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Near the back of your Bible there. You know what though? Are you still in Psalms? Look at Proverbs. I'll tell you how pure it is, because Proverbs is right next to Psalms. Save me. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to have to buy new glasses. I can barely see in these things. I'm losing my eyesight. Notice what it says there in verse 5. I'm glad I got a lot of this stuff memorized, John, in my heart. Every word of God is what? It's pure. It's a shield unto them that, I'm in Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Look at verse 6. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Don't mess with God's Bible. These people that make new Bibles and correct God's Bible, they say a better rendering is this. Not according to God. According to man, but not according to God. And God said, you know what? You're going to get in trouble. I'll show you when we get to Revelation. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the inspiration of God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15. How many have got 2 Timothy 3:15? And from a child thou hast known what? The holy scriptures. These are holy, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Yeah, you got to have God's word to bring you unto salvation. Because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you got to have the right word. Make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, how much scripture? Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in the righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Eddie, you don't need anything else but that King James Bible. God, Brother Coolidge, if that's all we have was the King James Bible, we got enough. Now I got Strong's Concordance. I got Webster, 1826 Webster Dictionaries, and they all help. We got all those study helps. But if this is all you need right here. If that's all you have was the Word of God, that's all you need. And it's perfect, it's inspired, and it's eternal. Look at the next scripture I got there. Look at 2 Peter. How'd you get your Bible? 2 Peter. My sugar's got to be up, because when my sugar goes up, that's when I can't see. And I feel dizzy. And I usually get mean. It's when I want to punch somebody. I don't know why. I'm not a tough guy. Those birds up there, in Washington, they get me so mad. 2 Peter 1:20. Look at that. Knowing this. How many have got 2 Peter? Look at verse. Knowing this first. Hello? That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Don't mess with it. God's already wrote it. You don't need a new living letters. You don't need a new Bible. Jerry Falwell don't have to make one. Nobody else has to make one. God's already given us one. I don't want one from them. I got God's. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the... It didn't come by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's like Eddie telling Lizzie, I'm going to dictate you a letter, Lizzie. I'm going to quote it and you write it down. And so the Holy Spirit quoted to those holy men and they wrote it down as it was as the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Just like if Rod and Debbie, no doubt she's his secretary. And Rod will say, Debbie, take this letter for us, dear pastors. She's typing away. Well, that's exactly what they did. The Holy Spirit moved in their heart and they wrote down as the Spirit of God spoke to them. You say, how can they do it? By divine intervention by God. Amen? And then just lastly, and I'll close. Don't change God's Bible. Look at Revelation 22. Well, I'm sorry. I really wanted to teach you this about this. I really wanted to teach you that about that Old Testament. I might do this next, just this one little slot next week. Look at Revelation. I'm going to close. Look at Revelation 22:9. And if any man shall take away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life. Boy, that's a big... I ain't going to touch that. I'm just telling you, don't mess with it. Don't mess with God's Bible. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God says, if you're smart, you won't mess with my Bible. And don't touch my Bible. I've got a perfect Bible. It's for all people. And you know what I always thought? I learned something when I was a young kid, Ray. I'll say this and I will close. I got saved off the streets. And thank God I had a preacher that believed the old King James Bible. Old hillbilly from Tennessee, Brother Jones, sure do love him. And I always believed that the Bible was the pure word of God. Then later on, I went to one school. I didn't go there very long, but I did go there for a while. When I first went to class, I almost punched the professor. I didn't make it but two classes, John. And I didn't know. I thought everybody knew the King James Bible was the pure word of God. And the one professor said, well, there's errors. And I said, there's no errors. And then I had these books I had to read by Newell and stuff. And I was home reading that stuff. Man, he said, it's unfortunate that this is in the King James Bible. Oh, my lands. I ran down that dean of that college office. And I said, did you see what this guy said? I'm only in my early 20s, and I just saved off the street, you know, trying to learn. And now I'm temperate, but I was pretty wild back then. And I slammed that thing down. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing unfortunate about that King James Bible. Calm down, Pastor. Calm down, Brother Scott. And I came this close to punching the fellow in the face. Now, I don't think you should do that. It's a good thing I didn't punch him, because he probably would have either beat me up, because he's about 6 inches taller than me, or that he would have called the police and put me in jail. So either way, I would have lost. But I grew up believing that the Bible was a pure word, and I couldn't believe going to Bible college, someone would tell me there was an error in it. And then I sat down with Brother Jones, and he said, you got to understand, you got to take. Of course, he didn't want where I was. He didn't like me being there anyways. But he said, you got to, when you read a book, Brother Rich, you're not going to agree with everything. Just take out the apples that you want and leave the rest there. The rotten. When you're reading something, you can learn from almost anything. Just leave. There's a lot of rotten apples, and not in the Bible, but in the things you read. And he tried to calm me down. He said, "Now listen, there are some good things in there about justification and sanctification, and you know, you can't beat up every person that says something, you know, and because I was a street person, Billy. We got mad, we punched people. That's how we lived. I didn't know it changed when I became a Christian. And so I learned to, first of all, I didn't use that many books. I don't read books that make a habit of correcting it. But I learned you got to, people are going to say things. You just got to keep going. No matter what they say, you can't change your beliefs. I don't care what people say. I know the Bible is the pure word of God. And I'm glad I had preachers that believed that. All my pastors believed that. And even the one I had near the end, he called me and he said, "Now, Brother Skyver, I don't take that stand like you do." But he never corrected it. And I didn't know. I thought he always believed like I did, but he didn't use nothing but the King James Bible, and he never corrected it, so we never crossed paths. Now, I've been here going towards 22 years. Now, you folks have all know that the Bible is the pure word of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches that the preachers don't take a stand. And there's a lot of preachers that might use this King James Bible but don't believe it. And or they believe it and they don't have enough guts to speak out and tell people. Well, I think if God was good enough to give me a Bible, I ought to be able to speak up and say, I'm going to take what God gave me. Bobby, I'm not ashamed of what God gave me. And so I have a Bible that God gave me. You have a Bible that God gave you. And we just need to read it more and more, study it more and more, learn of it more and more, and thank God for it. Amen? And so don't ever be ashamed of that old Bible. It's a pure word of God. I think before I go to lesson 3 next week, I want to show you that there's one little section. I got a bunch of verses. I want to show you some truth there about Adam and stuff. And so we will do number 3 next week, but there's a little spot there in that last part of that one by the King James Bible I want to show you next week. So I'm glad I got a Bible. I'm glad I got a Savior. I'm glad I got the promise of His return. Amen? He's coming back. So until He does, the Bible says we're to occupy till He comes. I'm looking for a miracle this year. I think we're on the brink of a miracle. I think God's going to do something very special for this church this year. I really believe that. I think we're going to see the Lord build that new building this year. I believe that. I'm excited. And I think we're very, very close to it. I think, but let me say this to you folks. I'm excited about the new building, but I want to tell you, I'm even more excited about Christ coming back. Eddie, I want to build that new building, and Lizzie, I know you do too. But if I had to choose the new building or going up in the rapture, I'll take the rapture. We could build it during the millennium reign. We'll be here 1,000 years, Rod. We could put a new building on that land during the millennium reign. Who knows? Maybe we will, if we don't get it up before that. So, I'm looking for Christ. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's do all we can to reach people for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Let's give it all we got for our Savior. He gave all he had for us. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.